Well, hi again, everybody. It is Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten. It's the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday evening. Lakers coming off a road sweep and a very nice couple of wins down at Alabama Huntsville. And we'll talk at length about that in a second. But, you know, I think probably the first thing we ought to hit tonight is the McKay situation and just talk about it for a few seconds again. I saw Brendan back at practice today. He did get back to the team this morning, but you know, his mom passed away last week, and that was a tough time for them. It wasn't something that was unexpected necessarily, but she's been struggling with Alzheimer's for quite a while now, and still young, in her 50s, and that's a tough thing for a player and a team to go through. I know that Brendan McKay means a lot to the other guys on this hockey team and certainly to his family.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think when you put yourself in Brendan's shoes at that age to lose your mother is a very difficult thing to do, you know. And like you said, she has been sick for a while, and so they you know, there's some preparation internally that you know some things are coming along, but that's still your mom and you lose her. So very very tough situation for Brendan, and you know, we're glad he's back joining us. He got back today, as you mentioned. He was able to be home and spend time with her before she passed and be with Barry and Austin and the family. So that was good. You know, obviously Brendan's brother Austin is a former captain of ours as well, and you know, many of you listening know Barry well, and he doesn't miss many games. And so yeah, really tough situation. He was on our minds all weekend. You know, we had his jersey with us, and after the game, the guys awarded Brendan the game pucks. Just you know, really a part of our motivation and inspiration this past weekend was for Brendan, and we're glad to have him back. I know for all of us, this game means so much to us that, you know, that couple hours at practice, it just allows you to kind of forget about everything hard going on in your life. And this is certainly one of those things where, you know, it's great to show up to the rink. You forget about that for a little bit and get to go out and work and sweat and, you know, do something you love so much. So I know he'll appreciate being back, but, you know, we'll continue to work closely with Brendan to make sure, you know, he's okay through this really tough situation.
All righty. And two big wins on the weekend. Anytime you win on the road in the WCHA or any league for that matter and you get a sweep, but it's the first time. I had some people call me right after the game on Saturday night and ask, when's the last time the Lakers swept two straight road series? And it was just last season. It was late in the season last year too. You swept a couple games at Bemidji and then went up to Anchorage and won two. So it's not something brand new by any means, and it doesn't mean that the Lakers are the best team in the WCHA, but hey, it's two wins. It's tough. It's on the road. Huntsville can be a very, very good team at home. They're fast. They play hard. And they had played more games. They had six games under their belts now, and the Lakers went into that one with just two. And he came out with a couple of victories.
Well, I think, you know, you hit it really nicely there that you talk about, you go back to last season, and, you know, I think we're showing signs of who we could be, you know, when you look at some things, we were young on the back end, especially last year, going out of Denver, losing Sockman and Kybel for that long stretch of time, and that was tough. You know, Will Rydell and Tyler Anderson were playing huge, huge minutes as freshmen, just inexperienced in a lot of different areas. So, you know, I think we came together late, started to show some things of where we thought we could be, and you know, had we not lost those guys, I think there's a little bit different feel going into those weekends. But we finished strong. You know, Nick Kossoff and Merrick Mittens were playing very well to finish the year last year. They've continued that trend here early on. Obviously, having those defensemen back and having a healthy decor, even though we only played five defensemen on Friday, is you know, having an impact. I still think it's a group that you know, they're playing pretty well overall, but they can be better, and it can be a very dominant group on the back end of our defensemen. And then up front, we've got, you know, much better depth than we've ever had. We've got these seniors we keep talking about and upperclassmen like Gelsinger, Humitz, and Terrell, and Kuglietta, and Nellis, and these guys are having a major impact on the game night in and night out. So I know, really, really good weekend. As you said, I don't care who you're playing, and then obviously Alabama struggled early on. You have to go out and earn it and do it, and doing it on the road after a long road trip and five defensemen. I thought there was a lot of reasons why we could have maybe tucked tail a little bit and not fought through, but we responded really well, had to score two goals in the third period on Saturday to win. And just a real good start to conference play.
Yeah, I thought you played really. I listened to more of the game on Friday night than I did on Saturday, really. I only caught the end of the game on Saturday. But Friday night, I thought you played really well. You outplayed them pretty badly early in the game. We're out shooting them by a wide margin. And in that game, you're without Steven Ruggiero on defense. He was sitting out from the suspension from the Nipissing game on Saturday night a week previous. And then
I didn't know that Tyler Anderson couldn't play in that game. That goes back to last year. It's a league situation. And so you're missing two key defensemen right there, and you still played pretty well.
Yeah, no, no question. I mean, it's not easy. You know, playing 5D, you got to give them a lot of credit. You know, and two of those are freshman D with Samandel going in for Ruggiero there, and Jacob Nordquist continuing to play a big role. So it was tough. You know, we grabbed Alex Ambrosio, got a shift or two on defense from him. Chase Gamblin played a couple shifts on defense just to kind of try to give guys a breather and let them recover a little bit. So it was really challenging. You know, when we found out about the Anderson situation, we were already on the road and we couldn't really do anything about it. And, you know, certainly not pleased that you know, competitively, I thought it was a big disadvantage, and even, you know, the risk of our guys playing those major minutes. So it was a tough situation. Our first period, we were unbelievable. Like, we came out great, and you're worried after the layoff and the bye week and the exhibition games, the bus trip, we came out, we're really, really good. Second period, we started really well again, and then we had four penalties straight in the second period, starting, I think, around the 8 or 10 minute mark, that we lost the momentum. It gave them some life and some energy that we had to kill, and you know, they had some possession, did a good job in the penalty kill, including Nick Kossoff and the guys in front of him, but that gave them a little bit of life of energy, allowed them to hang around a little bit, where I thought we had some situations to really close that game out, and they kept fighting back. So credit to them, but we kept responding and got it done. So it was a nice win Saturday. Anthony Nellis, I think, ended up with a 3-point night. You see Hampus Erickson back in the lineup. He had a big impact. So a lot of really good individual efforts. Braden Gelsinger had the shorthanded goal to start us off from Anthony Nellis, and you know, a lot of multi-point games. Lucas Kiebel picked up 2 assists on the night. So just a lot of guys played up, a lot of guys played well, and it was a good start to the season on Friday night.
Yeah, we always talk about players of the week early every Laker hockey show, and quite often we'll have a player of the week from Lake Superior State. We have already this season. Now, today that's not the case because Bowling Green had such a tough week and played 3 games. They played last Tuesday night at Western Michigan, and they won that game, and then they played Ohio State down at OSU and won handily. They beat them pretty badly, 8-2, and then played to a 2-2 tie at home against Ohio State on Saturday. And Bowling Green dominating players of the week this week. Max Johnson, who's a senior forward for them, had quite a weekend. He finished with 3 goals in the 8-2 win alone, and finished up with 5 points on the weekend. So he was player of the week offensively. A lot of people thought Anthony might sneak in there, but he was an honorable mention, coming out 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points on the weekend against Alabama Huntsville. And then Alec Rohauser, the big defenseman for Bowling Green, and he is a very good player. He had 4 points on the weekend, was a +3, figured in on a lot of scoring, did a great job defensively, blocked a lot of shots, and he was defensive player of the week. But in there, Lucas Kiebel was an honorable mention too. He had 2 assists and was a +3 on the weekend, tied Rohauser for that category. And Ryan Bednard was goalie of the week from Bowling Green, a 1.62 goals against average and a .936 save percentage. That's pretty darn good. Marek Smittens there was an honorable mention. He stopped 29 of 30 shots on Saturday night in the 2-1 win at Huntsville. And he was instrumental in that win because the Lakers had to come from behind. Nelly scored to tie the game, and then Hampus Erickson scored to win it. And Brian Hallinan from Michigan Tech was the Rookie of the week. He had a couple of goals in a split there, a very big split, though. They beat a pretty good hockey team, and they are playing over at Wisconsin last weekend. So, you know, the Lakers finished in runner-up spots there for the player of the week, but did a good job.
Well, I think Bowling Green is the story of college hockey to me this season. They've been absolutely on fire, and you know, they're averaging 5-6 goals a game. Their offense, probably one area that maybe has held them back a little bit, is they've not been a high-octane offense down there. They've been a big, strong team that didn't give much up. They got good goaltending in Bednard, and now all of a sudden they're scoring at will, and so they're a really scary, dangerous team, and we're going to see those in a couple weeks. So that'll be our next road trip, and you know, looking forward to seeing how we match up there, and hopefully they've cooled off a little bit because it's been an absolute unbelievable start for Bowling Green.
Well, we've got a number of questions from fans here tonight. We'll get into those. I think Anthony Nellis is going to be here to join us on the show tonight. We'll talk to Anthony about his past and future, as well as the great start he's had this season. He does lead the Lakers in scoring right now. I thought it was a great weekend for Hampus Erickson. We mentioned a moment ago he scored the game winner on Saturday night, but here's a kid who hadn't played. He's coming off injury, lower body, kept him out. He wasn't able to really skate much, and comes out last week, does some skating for about 3 days, goes out and plays 2 really good games for you.
Yeah, and we kind of went in not sure, you know, if he'd play major minutes or, you know, just 5-on-5 or maybe just power play where, you know, he's been with us, you know, all of last year and this before he got injured on the power play guy for sure. You know, he came out, did a good job. You know, we've talked a lot before his injury. His line and his play was tremendous when he got back to campus and, you know, had a pretty good summer and came back in better shape, a little bit quicker, certainly more acclimated to the college game. So it was nice to welcome him back. Obviously a good player, but also he does it in a 6'3", 6'4 frame. So he's a big kid who can't be moved off the puck, sees the ice extremely well. He's got a really underrated defensive stick. You know, he strips a lot of hands. He forces a lot of turnovers and allows him and his line to transition on offense as well. So it was nice to have Hampus back. And, you know, he comes out, gets 2 points in his opening games. And that's not easy. You know, like you said, he's missed a lot of time. Those other teams have played a lot of games. Their game speed's a little bit ahead of ours. But it was good to get Hampus back and playing at a high level.
Well, we had a good weekend out of Anthony Nellis, too. I just mentioned he had a couple goals and 2 assists. He's playing really well right now. He's kind of picking up where he left off last year. He had a tremendous second half in his junior year, and he's going to join us here tonight, so we'll talk at length with him about that in the second half of our show. But he's off to a good start.
Yeah, you know what? You hit it. He you know, finished the year just at a different level. You know, certainly, you know, arguably our best forward as a year finished. Probably pretty easy to determine that. He was pretty dominant night in, night out. And even as we were going against other teams, you know, he could kind of start to, you know, do things at will that he wanted to do. The light bulb sort of went on offensively for Anthony, who was a high scorer in junior hockey and had, you know, good first 2 years as well. And but just took it to another level as he finished. And he's brought that confidence back with him. You know, the thing I really liked about Saturday's game, you know, we were down obviously 1-0 going to the third period, and you could almost see him, you know, just put the team on his back. He went out, was dominating shifts, and then just had a great goal where he had a step on the Huntsville defenseman, kind of put him on his back, carried him to the net, and went and tucked it in. And again, that's what you need. Those experienced guys, your veteran guys, have to be able to impact the game that way. And Anthony's done it nearly every single night, and we'll continue to call on him to do that for us moving forward.
Another good thing on the weekend, goaltending was very strong. Nick was pretty good on Friday night. He allowed 4 goals, but some of those were special teams goals, and one of them came late in the last minute of play. Other than that, he was rock solid, and then Merrick's really played well on Saturday. You get a 2-1 win there. The goaltending's been good.
Yeah, it is. You know, and again, that finished that way last year. You know, both those guys, we've had the same rotation here for a while, and, you know, they've kind of embraced that a little bit. You know, we've notified those guys early in the week that what our rotation would be and what night they're going, and then, you know, you have one game to focus on, and so that's been able to allow them to focus in and go out and do their job. And as you mentioned, you know, Nick had to make some key saves and you know, timely saves there, and did a strong job. And then I thought Merrick's, you know, again was really good. He was outstanding. Neither guy had to face a ton of grade A's, but sometimes that can be more challenging for a goaltender when you're not getting a lot. Then all of a sudden that real quality chance comes. It can be hard to stay focused and sharp that way. So we're really strong in net, and you know, that's obviously something you want to be. We've worked hard to upgrade that area, and you know, Lake State has always been a goalie school. We've had tremendous goaltenders for years and years here, and you know, you need that today's game to give yourself a chance. So we're getting that from both Nick and Merrick's, and then Roman's breathing down their necks, and a really healthy competitive situation for our program right now.
All righty, we're going to take a break here on the show tonight. We're about a quarter of the way through. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten, it's the Laker Hockey Show. Matt Pocketts with us as well. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Well, we're back at the Antlers. It's a Tuesday night. It's a Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten, Matt Pocket all here tonight. We've got a few fans with us. We've got some questions from the fans. But, Damon, first of all, we want to preview what's going on this weekend. It's a big weekend. It's Great Lakes State weekend. It's Hall of Fame induction. It's Alumni Awards dinner. It's Women's Walk. There's all sorts of stuff going on. A lot of extracurricular this weekend, but two big hockey games. Non-conference, but big nonetheless. Michigan's in town Friday night and Saturday night. I think it's 7:30 on Friday night to allow that alumni dinner to complete and get those people over, and then 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
Well, I'm glad you nailed it, because like you said, there's a lot going on, and you know, we'll try to get out to do some of those events. You know, unfortunately, the Friday night dinner we're not able to get to, but we'll certainly catch Mark Astley and Darren Madeley, their induction into the Laker Hall of Fame, and really excited to have those guys back in, and then, you know, hopefully be able to spend some time with our guys Saturday morning as well, you know, and just hear a little bit about what LSSU meant to them and their careers on the ice and off the ice, and just get a chance to you know, share those memories. So we're looking forward to that. I know the women's walk is a big thing too that we'll try to participate in a little bit before our game Saturday. Obviously, we're a little bit preoccupied in preparations for University of Michigan coming up, and you know, we're looking forward to it. Obviously, it's a great rivalry between LSSU and University of Michigan. You know, obviously that program is well known throughout our state and then throughout the country. And you know, I think it'll be a very fitting weekend. There's a lot of excitement around town. Looking forward to you know, a full building there at Taffy Able, and a great weekend of hockey. You know, they're a good hockey team. Obviously, they're coming off a Frozen Four berth last year. Know a lot about the way they want to play. Obviously spent 4 years with Mel, or 3 years, I think, with Mel over at Michigan Tech. And, you know, he does things, a lot of things the same way. You're certainly always adjusting and making some tweaks to what you do, but have a feel to the way he thinks the game should be played and wants the game played. And, you know, that'll help in our preparation there a little bit. But, no, it's going to be a great weekend of hockey, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to be hard to wait. You know, we've had these travel weeks, and, you know, we've been leaving early to get to different places, and now we got to wait till Friday. So we're going to try to make sure we keep the guys fresh and excited for that puck drop Friday at 7:30.
Yeah, Michigan comes into this 3-2 on the season, but coming off a sweep of St. Lawrence in Ann Arbor. And they outshot St. Lawrence that second game, 40-19. So they're kind of flying a little bit right now. And they've got a lot of offense. So they have at least 7, maybe 8 NHL draft picks in their lineup. They've got the first rounder on defense in Quinn Hughes, who's a very good sophomore player for Mel Pearson. They got 10 freshmen in the lineup, though, and they are struggling a little bit. They probably lost a couple games they don't think they should have, maybe to the under-18s and one to Vermont at home, but they'll still be tough, and they can skate, and it'll be the return of Luke Morgan to Sault Ste. Marie.
Well, I think when you watch them and you watch that St. Lawrence, we've been able to watch the St. Lawrence series and the Western Michigan series, the home and home they've had with Western, and team speed sticks out. You know, they're a team that can play with pace and wants to play with pace, and you know, so we've got to make sure that we try to limit that as much as we can. We'll do some of that with good puck decisions and making them play 200 feet. We'll do some of that with by trying to play tight all over the ice. You know, make them go through bodies, win foot races, make them defend, and I think you can have some success when you make them do that. You know, so that sticks out for sure. And then you mentioned Hughes already, but him and Ciccone on the back end are their top D pairing, and two really, really good hockey players. You mentioned Hughes being a high draft pick, and you know, that shows he's a quality hockey player, as good as we'll see. It's kind of, you know, interesting. The last 3 weekends, or going into this weekend, the best player on each team we played is defenseman, so we're a little bit prepared. You know, back in Merrimack, their top player is a defenseman. Huntsville had Kurt Goslin, their top player, so we're a little bit prepared for that. He'll bring a few different wrinkles to what he can do with his skill level, but him and Ciccone will be a big part of their success for what they want to do and try to do, and it'll be up to us to be ready to stop them. And then up front too, they've got a depth of talent up front. They can really come at you at waves. I think the one area when you look through, you know, their season and their statistics, their goaltending has not been where they would like it to be, or where it's going to need to be for them to return to the Frozen Four. So that's going to be our challenge, is to match them team speed-wise, get to their goaltending a little bit, have some traffic there, some second chance opportunities. And, you know, if we can do that, we'll find success there. But we're going to have to be ready to play with speed. And, you know, I think our team can do it. We've got a team built to match that, and that'll be our challenge.
How do you, you know, you just talked a little bit about how you've got to play against them to have any kind of success. With a lot of speed, I would think you're going to have to try to use a lot of different players. You kind of rolled 3 lines for the most part on Saturday night this past weekend down in Huntsville. I would think four lines are going to have to go against Michigan.
Well, three lines was just the third period. So, you know, it you know, it was a one goal game, and we were tight. And actually on Friday it was challenging to run the forwards because we had two extra forwards dressed with only five healthy D. You know, we had 14 forwards dressed, and we didn't want to roll five lines and have nobody in a rhythm, nobody in a flow. So we tried to spot those guys through some different areas and then, you know, get them some reps and you know, maybe spell a guy coming off special teams, things like that. And then Saturday, you know, we went back to 13 forwards, and we just felt like, you know, obviously we need a little bit of spark. We were down a goal, and we started to shorten the bench there a little bit early in the third period. And then those guys, you know, Anthony sitting here, his line was really good. You know, Diego's line was going there a little bit, and Ambrosio's line. So it just kind of happened. They were flowing, and then, you know, it works out. Some media timeouts came at the right times, allowed us to go back with those guys. So it was really just for the third period. And, you know, I thought that showed a little bit. We were concerned, as we talked a lot about last week. They had played six games. We'd only played two games. So we were worried about our game conditioning, matching a team that was a little bit ahead of us. And so, you know, by design, we wanted to make sure we were rolling four lines. So we did that for the most part for five periods. And then Saturday, being down a goal, we shortened the bench there a little bit, and some guys responded. So I thought that helped a little bit. But we can play four lines, and we'll do that, you know, most of the time this weekend. And again, you know, we'll have that extra forward and some things to watch matchup wise. But, you know, we got guys who can play, and, you know, we expect everybody to contribute.
Luke Morgan left this program after his freshman year. He played here at Lake Superior. He went to Michigan, transferred down, had to sit last year. He's in the lineup for them regularly this year. He's got four assists, I think, in the first five games this season. And he'll come back to Sault Ste. Marie. He should be kind of fired up for that game, but so should the Lakers to play against him and against his Michigan teammates.
Yeah, not worried about him. We're worried about our team and our preparation. And so, you know, not much to say there. Just welcome back, and let's drop the puck and get playing.
We've got some questions from some of our fans who are here tonight, and one of them concerns penalties over the weekend and maybe so far this season for that matter. How can we clean up the penalties per game issue? It seems to be a little bit of an issue. You talked a little bit about the second period on Friday night a few minutes ago. If you play a team like Michigan with all the skill they've got, you can't spend the night in the box.
Yeah, no question. You know, we spent a couple people here tonight, watched practice today, and had a pretty thorough penalty kill session, full ice, and you know, repping through some of the things they're trying to do and being prepared for that. Obviously a very talented team. So we do want to play 5-on-5, and they bring speed at you as well. So we'll be put in some compromising situations. But yeah, you know, I think part of it's adjusting when you go on the road. You know, I don't think we lack discipline or, you know, boneheaded plays, things like that. But, you know, you have to adjust. You can't put your stick in a certain situation. You have to work back to the D side of pucks and not get caught puck watching. So just, you know, we've addressed it. We've talked about it, and we need to do a little bit better job.
Another question from the fans here tonight. The defense core, is it back to full strength now after last weekend? Are we all set to go with everybody on board?
Well, suspension-wise, we're all right. Again, we had, you know, Steven out of the Nipissing game that received the DQ and called a fight when no punches were thrown. So that was challenging call there to fight through, and then the Tyler Anderson carryover from last year. So everybody's back and ready to go.
Okay, and we're set for a Friday night when we play Michigan. And don't forget, this weekend, it is Great Lakes State weekend. Lots of activities there. And going into the Hall of Fame, a couple of former Great Lakers. You mentioned them a moment ago. Mark Astley, a great defenseman for Lake Superior and an All-America player here. And Darren Madeley, an All-America goaltender here at Lake Superior. They both won a national championship in 1992. They both left this program at the same time after winning that national title. Mark graduated. Darren left a year early, but they're Lakers, and I think we're going to hear some real nice things about Lake Superior State when they speak at that induction on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I can't wait. Again, that's been one of the highlights. I remember my first year coming here to Lake State, and I think we put the team into the Hall of Fame, and just watching those guys walk in and the way they reacted to the fans, to the professors, I talk a lot about it with recruits still to this day, that the relationships you build in this town, on this campus, there's no school like in the country, you know, and part of that's, you know, our size and just the personal, the way you get to know everybody around this program, around this campus. And so it's a really special place to be, a really unique place to be. And I wish there's a way that our guys could all make it, but that'd be pretty disruptive to their routines. But again, you know, our hope is to get Darren and Mark in Saturday morning and share some of that, what this program means to them and what they want our guys to get out of their time here as well. So really looking forward to, always a highlight of the year to have guys like those guys back.
Well, we've got a question about recruiting here tonight too. In fact, I got a couple of them because some people have been emailing questions about recruiting as well. But with Michigan coming in this weekend, Great Lakes State weekend, alumni around, all kinds of people on campus and big crowds, is this a good weekend to do some recruiting and maybe have somebody pay a visit to campus?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we'll have a couple guys around, taking advantage of that opportunity and the type of weekend it is. The hard part in the hockey side of it anymore is kids don't miss games anymore. You know, 10, 12 years ago, coaches didn't care. They could come up, catch a Friday night game. They'd miss their game, whatever team and their town they were from. But today's game, those junior coaches are, you know, it's not development as much as it used to be. They're losing jobs now if they're not winning. So there's not a whole lot of visits taking place on Friday, Saturday nights like there used to be. Most times now a kid will come in Sunday evening, spend Monday on campus, be back home in time for practice Tuesday so he doesn't miss games. So it's really changed. And, we had a couple guys we were hoping to bring in potentially and that exact reason, you know, their coaches wouldn't allow them to come and miss games. So it's really changed quite a bit over the last 8 to 10 years where, again, in the past, you always came up, you caught a game to see that environment and see what the team was all about. It doesn't happen much anymore, but we're able to get a couple guys up, which will be nice.
All right. We're listening tonight to the Laker Hockey Show. We're going to take a break. Anthony Nellis is going to move in here and join us. Damon will be back for the last part of the show. We'll be right back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for segment three of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday evening, late in the month of October. Really into hockey season now. All you got to do is take a look outside. It's dark out already in Sault Ste. Marie. Joining us tonight is Anthony Nellis. We had Max Humitz a couple of weeks ago. We had the very talkative Steven Ruggiero last week. We're going to go to the French side of things here tonight. Anthony Nellis joining us. And where is Brakeyville, Quebec?
It's a small town in Lévis, in the suburb of Quebec City. About 4,000 people. No arena, just an outdoor rink, and it's just a nice place to be.
It's his hometown, Brakeyville, Quebec. Now, you played in Pembroke. I think Dale McTavish was your coach there when you played your last year, a junior, before you came here. Tell us a little bit. I always like to ask the guys how you wound up at Lake Superior State. Like, who recruited you, and how did you come to make that decision to come here and play in Sault Ste. Marie?
It all started when I was 17. I decided that I wanted to follow the college path. And for me, it was, as a French Canadian, I had to finish school before maybe deciding to go for my 20 years old in Ontario or whatever, the junior league in Canada. So I did the CJEP, it's called. It's after the high school. I did graduate from CJET, and after I was eligible to go play whether in the CCHL or in the BCHL, whatever league in Canada. So I decided to go in the CCHL because one of my good friends from back home was playing there. He's currently playing for Canisius. So we went to Pembroke together in the CCHL, and it was just a great experience. Getting to know Dale McTavish, a great coach. He had a good, he did really good for me. He gave me a lot of opportunity, and I just took advantage of it. Back when, in November, when I was not committed yet to Lake State, Peter Aubry, that was still assistant coach, was following me in the CCHL. I was doing pretty good, and we were just in good terms. And Pete, not that he convinced me, but like just the way that he talked about the program, the history of it, the ring, the atmosphere here, and for me as a French Canadian and English as a second language, a smaller school was more appropriate for me. with smaller classroom and professors that are you get to know personally too. So that was something for me that put a lot of weight in the balance. And in November, I just decided that it was a good choice for me to come to Lake State for the next 4 years after.
Yeah, and you have not regretted that. This is a pretty good team for you and a pretty good school for you. You're a finance major. How are things going in the major? Are you going to get the degree this year?
Yeah, I'm going to get the degree in May. I'm actually in advance in my degree. I'm going to get a minor in accounting also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something that is pretty good. My dad was an accountant. He's a CPA, so I'm just following his path a little bit, but I decided that finance was more something that I was interested to.
No, your dad played some college hockey too. He played in Canada, but yeah. He played collegiate hockey, did he not?
Yeah, my dad played the CIS league where we play Nipissing, which is the same league. They play in the same conference. My dad played for the UQTR, it's called. It's always a good team every year.
Trois-Rivières.
Yeah, Trois-Rivières.
Right. Yeah, and he's your dad's been in a lot of games. He was out in Merrimack, and I've seen him over the years many times, gotten to know him a little bit. Very nice man, and he cares about what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, from where I am right now, it's obviously my dad played a huge impact in this the position I am. I'm very grateful for it. He gave me a lot of opportunity, and he always supported me. So did my mom, my two sisters. But yeah, my dad likes to travel out east more because it's just easier for him. And
right.
Obviously, he's getting older too, so for the traveling part, you just prefer to go out east. And for him, it's more like, It's something that is like very, he enjoys a lot to do with his friend, and he's proud to come and watch me with the family.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him next time I see him if he would drive to Alabama Huntsville either. I doubt he would. Let's check into your season start so far. You're picking up right where you left off last year. You had a great second half last year. You really started to produce some points, and you're doing it again. You got 3 goals, 2 assists so far this season, and we've only played 6 games. That's pretty good production, and a real big goal Saturday night to tie that hockey game in the third period in Huntsville.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm just feeling really good on the ice. I got the confidence from the coach. I got my own confidence too. Putting back with Gage and Ampus, the line mate I played with last year in the second half, we had a great connection, great chemistry, and we're just, I guess, with Ampus back in the lineup, coach was not scared to put us back together, and so far it's just success, and we just hope to continue against Michigan.
Yeah, you got you on the one side, you got Gage on the other. Gage can get in there and dig the puck out pretty good, and Hampus, big body, yeah. Pretty smart, good with the puck. It is a good line. You had Owen Guy there the first few games while Hampus was injured, but and Owen did a good job. He's a freshman though, and
sure. Like I mean, as a freshman, putting in the middle of two seniors, I'm pretty sure Owen was a little bit nervous for games. I was just trying to make him comfortable with us and making good comments because obviously it's a learning process for him, and putting in this situation was probably something that he was, like I said, nervous about it.
Do you remember your freshman year at all when you played and you had to try to fit in with some older guys? Because I can remember that pretty well. It was only a few years ago.
Yeah, it was freshman year, first game against North Dakota with now 5 or 6 guys that played in the NHL. It was pretty scary to start for sure.
Yeah, it's a tough row to hoe, and it's good that you can remember that because it really helps the freshmen if they've got seniors who understand the situation, can help lead them a little bit. You've had some other pretty good coaching in your career too. Tell us a little bit about some of the other people who have had an effect on you as a hockey player and turned you into the player you are today.
I would say when I was 19 years old, Pascal Leon, who played in the National Hockey League for a couple of years with the Devils, won the Stanley Cup with them. I think he had a really good influence on me. It was his first year coaching when he coached me. So for him, as a new coach, he relied a lot on the older guys, and I was at the time one of the older guys on the team. And he just gave me a lot of confidence. And at that point, I didn't know if going to college was going to be something that wouldn't make it happen because I was 19 years old at the time, still in Quebec. And he just really pushed me just to be the best player, not really by putting any pressure on me, but maybe by making me understanding how maybe some process of the game work. And I'm really glad that I had like a lot of experience coach like Dale and Pascal, because they both plays in the National Hockey League. And I just think it's something that I was pretty lucky through my junior career that not me. Can you evolve to be the player I am right now?
Have you had in classes, et cetera, at Lake State, have you had difficulties because of the language situation? Are there, I can just imagine being a French Canadian student and having a class with Madan Saluja. You know, it's hard enough to understand Madan any time, but
I agree with you because I don't want to say what I had in this class, but it was not. I was not really proud of the grade I had. But
well, he's a tough teacher too.
Yes, but you know it used to be not an issue, but it's a challenge for sure for some classes with a lot of reading, a lot of new wording.
Right.
Especially in finance, because some terms are very different. But I just feel like I said earlier in this, like the professor are really close to us, and if you got an issue or if you're just like behind the class, they're not trying to step up and help you.
Right.
And so far, I've been very like, I've been productive and
yeah,
I've been doing good. So
yeah, and this is a very international team right now. We talk about this all the time. We got a lot of players who are, we got Europeans on this team. We got Yuki from Japan. And Yuki has trouble too with the language situation, probably more than anybody else does because it's really difficult for him. He came straight out of Japan 3 years ago, and that's been a big adjustment for him, but he fits right in with everybody else on this team.
No, for sure. Like you. Obviously, Yuki maybe he's got that quiet personality, but he fits right in. He's a very good teammate, cares about the team. You know, he makes a lot of effort, and I see it, and team see it, and we're glad.
How would you look at yourself now as a leadership person on this team? You're a senior. You're there with Diego and Gage, and with Nick Kossoff. You're the four seniors. How do you perceive that yourself, and what sort of things do you try to do with the younger guys to lead them along?
I just want them to stick to the process. I think that's really important. It's 4 years. Yes, sometimes like guys maybe think about short term, but you know, you come to college, you expect to be here for 4 years, get a degree, and you got to stick with it. I think that's the most important thing that I'm trying to tell the guys. Yes, it's nice to have success early on maybe your career, college career, but you know, it's just to be a good teammate, respect like what you have right now, because it's probably some of the best like moments you can cherish in your life pretty much.
Have you played, did you play a couple years ago down against Michigan at Michigan? Were you a freshman then?
I was a sophomore.
Sophomore,
I was there, but I was not on the ice.
Yeah, and and we won one of those two games. I remember Gus scoring a big goal for us in one of those two games. You looking forward to this weekend playing against a team like that?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm just expecting pretty much the same as it was against Michigan State two years ago. The Tapia Bowl was packed. It was loud, a lot of buzz. It was very fun to play, and those are the moments we love by playing hockey.
Yeah, it's a great thing when you have a great crowd there. Well, appreciate you joining us here tonight, Anthony, and wish you luck the rest of the season. We'll see if we can get you on again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Anthony Nellis joining us here on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll take a break. Damon and I will be back for the final segment right after this on ESPN 1400. Our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show here on a Tuesday night from the Antlers. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten moving back in now, and Anthony Nellis did a good job. Players on his team are, you know, you can see them mature as they come along. By the time they're seniors, they do a really good job. I've been thinking of resurrecting our Between Periods feature where we interview all the players. I think we'll start maybe doing that later this week, but because it's good for the fans to hear from the guys, and that's one of the things I like about getting players on the show. But it's really good, these seniors. They can speak a little bit. They have good thought process, and most of them are leadership people.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see the growth over the years of these guys. They come in and, you know, have a hard time looking in the eye and having carrying a conversation sometimes. And occasionally that's a little different. Some of the guys come in and a little bit, just emotionally more mature to carry those conversations. But then you see them when they're gone or as they grow through it, it's pretty remarkable to see. And, as Anthony sits here, just proud of this group. It's been really good. You know, they've gone through a lot here, and we've got a long season to go. You know, there'll be some hard times and some challenges that we'll face, but we have a lot of faith and trust in this group, and you know, talk a lot about what they've been through. You know, when they came here, they were impact guys, you know, and Anthony talked about his time in Pembroke, you know, Pete Aubrey, and I can remember going out and watching Anthony and how impressed we were with him as a player back then. He was an elite talent at that level, and he's shown that at this level just as we thought he would be. So we feel really good that we can fall back on these guys in this class, and they've done a really good job. Our locker room and our chemistry is as strong as it's ever been in our you know, 5 years here. So it's a real credit to what they're doing in there, and you know, we've tried to give them a lot of I guess leeway to set the tone, to set the culture, to hold each other accountable. And I think you start to have a chance to be a championship level team when your players are leading the way that way. And they're certainly doing a good job early on here of that.
You know, one of the tough things about college hockey nowadays, I was looking at statistics, et cetera, the other day from the 1991-92 team in preparation for Darren Madeley and Mark Astley going into the Hall of Fame. But you know, we had guys on the team. I know we won a national championship, but we had people who scored 26, 25, 24, 21 goals, 12 goals out of a defenseman. Goal scoring's really tightened up. And is that because goaltending is so much better, or defensive game plans are better, or is the hockey falling off, or what? Because goals are really hard to come by now. Not very many players hit the 20-goal plateau anymore. Last year, Anthony had 12. He's got 3 right now. Max Humitz had 13. It was 2013, the last time we had a 20-goal scorer, when Dominic Minardo had 23, and it's really tough to find goal scoring these days.
Well, I'll let you tell Darren Madeley that the goaltending's improved and it's better than it used to be.
Well, I will. I have no problem with that.
I don't think Darren will agree. You know, I mean, there's changes to the game, certainly. When you look at the equipment Darren wore versus what they wear today, it looks totally different. I mean, it's you can find those online and do an easy side-by-side comparison about the equipment he wore. So that's changed. You know, you look at our forwards, our defensemen, nobody's afraid to block a shot anymore. It used to hurt. Now you barely feel it most of the time. And so guys are willing to sacrifice any part of their body to block a shot. You know, certainly, you know, coaching's changed. You know, back when I played, we were just starting to go deck to deck on VHS tapes to do some scouting and pre-scouting. Now everything at a moment's notice, you have, you know, we can have instantaneous video analysis of what a team's doing on their power play or penalty kill and make adjustments right on the spot, a little bit more convenient. So there's definitely more structure to the game. Certainly you saw for a while the way obstruction and interference was called, and they tried to loosen that up. It's kind of interesting following the NHL this year. You're seeing scores of 9-2 and 8-1 and a little bit of an explosion offensively once again, which I think is exciting. You know, it's fun. You know, I think people come to see the top talent and to watch Crosby and, you know, Ovechkin and whoever it might be, more so than a third, fourth liner and a clutch and grab and things like that. So I think there's, you know, there's ebbs and flows to the way the game's being taught and coached and things like that, and I'm sure we'll see a cycle back down to somewhere, get more defensively again, but it seems to be picking up a little bit. But it definitely is you know, a lot different than you know, I think I was probably in the dead area. You barely scored. You know, we had Ryan Miller in these great defensive games, and now you're starting to see a little bit more offense again. So I think we have a chance to have some 20 goal scorers, and you know, Anthony joined you. He needs to be one of them for us, and you know, if we do that, we'll have a heck of a season.
You know, we always get recruiting questions. I get a lot of them texted to me and emailed, et cetera, and we've gotten several again this week. We're going to lose Kuglietta, Nellis Terrell, and Nick Kossoff. Those are the 4 seniors that will leave the program this year. I would say Kuglietta, Nellis Terrell, that's probably 3 of your top 5 scoring-type people and leadership people in your lineup. So how do you replace them? I know you step up people who are already here, but do you go out and actually try to recruit people to replace them, or are you just going to move people up and recruit what you think you need for the future?
Well, I think it's both, you know, and it never changes. You know, we've seen that over the years. You know, Mitch had a good sophomore year, and he's gone. And Chris Bendoulis, you know, was a promising freshman, and he's gone. So you never quite know what it looks like and when those departures come, and so you try to be as prepared as you can be. Certainly you don't replace a guy like Anthony and the guys you mentioned, Diego and Gage and Nick, with an incoming freshman typically. You know, you need guys who have gone through those same growing pains and learned this game and got stronger and you know, adjusted to the NCAA level. So a lot of that will have to be internally. Obviously the freshmen coming in, you know, we'll have expectations just like this year's freshman class. And I think we have guys, you know, when you look at like Gelsinger and Humitz and other guys on our roster that will be able to take a step going into their senior year, or junior years. Certainly our freshmen on our roster right now, you know, they're playing at an extremely high level and they're very capable. So guys like Calder and Viette and Guy and, you know, Carlson and Muka, these guys will be really, really good players for us, you know, not only today, but down the road. So there'll be a little bit of both of that. There'll be some guys coming in that will look to grab some of those roles in those minutes. But I think we have a lot of guys internally that maybe, you know, some of those guys I just mentioned, those freshmen 3-4 years ago, they'd be playing a lot more than they are in this year's team. Mm-hmm. You know, so our top end depth and talent is the most it's been in our time here. And that's kind of relegated them to some smaller roles at time. But believe me, they'll be ready to step up and emerge when those opportunities arise. It might happen this year. It might take a year. But I think we have that internally and also in some of our incoming recruits.
Okay, another question from the fans who are here tonight. Are we going to rotate goaltenders this week, or is that a decision you'll make during practice this week?
Yeah, we'll keep evaluating. It's early in the week there. You know, yesterday coming off the road trip, we kind of had more of a skill development day and a split session. I wanted to try to minimize how long our guys were at the rink yesterday, and then we're able to do that by splitting groups and really more of a skill development focus. Today is a little bit more of a defensive focus, and so that'll be a day-to-day evaluation. We've been notifying those guys early in the week, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, so we might notify. They might know tomorrow, but nobody listening will know till Friday night. So you can keep guessing and giving us your thoughts and recommendations, but that'll be pretty tight-lipped beyond the three goaltenders and coaching staff.
Yeah, and we've got a Laker hockey talk program coming up on Thursday morning. Maybe we can nail you for it there.
Try to get me live, Bill.
Could try anyway. But and we'll have both games for you on YesFM this Friday and Saturday night, 7:30 Friday, 7 o'clock on Saturday. Don't forget Great Lakes Day weekend, man. Get out on Tuesday afternoon if you can, and support Mark Astley and Darren Madeley and Ben Dewar and all the people. Jean Carbino, Kreidler, she was a tremendous volleyball player, probably as good as we ever had. And then Muggsy Olsen as well. She's a tremendous athlete. And that's a really good class going into the Hall of Fame. That'll be at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon in the Arts Center. So that'll be interesting as well. And we'll have the games for you this weekend. Damon, one last question before we get out of here. Is the Zamboni off the IR?
Zamboni's all set. We're good to go. We're full functioning. Our athletic support team is all in place. And so we're looking for a great weekend. Those of you who have been by have seen some of the you know, some of the new advertising, the new sponsorships and, you know, corporate relationships we have around town. A couple surprises going up in the next day or two that pay a little bit of tribute to our history, you know, both coaching side of it, Hobie Baker candidates. So when you get in there in the next day or two, or certainly game night Friday, make sure you do a little extra looking around. And Dr. Pateson and his staff have done a really good job of, you know, trying to show more of the history of this great program. So that'll be a nice little addition as well, along with great hockey games this weekend.
All righty. That takes care of another Laker hockey show from the Antlers down on East Portage. For Matt Pocket, for Alyssa Bradley and Damon Witten, Bill Crawford, so long till next Tuesday night on the Laker hockey show on ESPN 1400.